Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness. Get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention as they work on your return in real time. Experts can file as soon as today. Now, taxes is matching with a TurboTax expert who gives your taxes their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. They can file your taxes as soon as today, and while they do, you get real-time updates on their progress so you can go about your day. Now, this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
It's a grand slam roar at Augusta National.
The Rich Eisen Show.
Denver locks up the number four seed.
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And the Clippers catch the current when it counts and sail into the playoffs.
Today's guests. Longtime golf writer Alan Shipnuck. Actor Delroy Lindo. Georgia safety Malachi Starks. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. Back in the chair after a few days. Working it. Hanging out with our friends at Roku. We're thrilled to be back here on the Roku channel, 12 to 3 Eastern time, as we are every single day. On the Roku Sports channel, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Thanks to Tom Pelissero for keeping this seat occupied with interesting sports talk and conversation. And as I mentioned, we've got another three-hour show here in store for you on the Infinity Sports Network, as well as SiriusXM and Odyssey and more. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, I am fantastic.
I know you are. Good to see you over there, DJ Mikey D.
Good morning,
D's
Rich.
Nuts.
How
good
doing?
To see you. TJ Jefferson, candles lit.
Candles lit, man. Welcome
good
back.
Good to see you. It's WrestleMania week, is it not?
Baby. Oh, it's baby, the, one of the best weeks of the year for your boy.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
In Vegas as
Vegas.
Well.
Yeah. So, all types of bad decisions are going to be made in the next couple hours.
Good times. Good times.
Yeah, got a great guest tonight for the pod. It's going to be awesome.
Who do you got on No Contest Wrestling?
Oh, this is a big one, Rich. We've been cultivating this caper for a while.
Like the Lufthansa Heist?
Yes, sir. We got main event Jey Uso. Can I get a yeet?
Yeet.
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 Fantastic.
So, yeah, this is a big one.
And O'Shea Jackson Jr. will be coming in later on. He usually comes in nice and early, so we'll throw him out. If he does show when he normally shows, mm-hmm. we'll throw him out on the set, and we'll talk about how scared he is of the Minnesota Timberwolves and how he should be glad that the Clippers didn't fall to the sixth spot.
Oh, that's right. You know what I mean? Yeah, I was
just trying to stir it up.
I was torn.
Trying to stir it up. Now the Dodgers
have been sick. Actually.
And also the fact that the Dodgers have lost two baseball series in a row.
Yeah, the sky's falling for that guy.
Okay.
And Del Tufo, anyway, he's a fan.
Good to see you over there. Good to see you over where everyone is taking in this program. Listen, I don't even know how to unpack yesterday. Mm-hmm. I don't know how to unpack Sunday at the Masters. Because it is and was epic. It was like an opus. It was like an opera. It was a comedy and a tragedy all in one. And I know we usually use these types of analogies in the sports world. And it doesn't meet the moment. And we usually use those types of analogies in the sports world for events like the Masters, and it sounds overhyped, it sounds overcooked, but there really is nothing like a Sunday at the Masters when there's a story unfolding like the one involving Rory McIlroy yesterday. Now, we all know
Rory's story. If you don't, he's been sitting on a career Grand Slam to join only five other players in the history of the sport to win both Opens, United States, and what back in the day we would used to call the British Open. Now it's the Open, the PGA Championship, and of course the Masters. And only five players have ever done it. And Rory's been sitting on this now, entering an 11th year, attempting to win the Masters to complete the career Grand Slam. And everything that we've seen in Rory McIlroy's remarkable Hall of Fame career was boiled into 19 holes of golf yesterday. From the remarkable shot making to the mind-blowing mistake shots. One after another, where you thought he's going to do it, and then you think he's not going to do it, and then this is really his day, and now it's definitely not his day, and he's melting down, but he's making amazing shots to recover from it. I mean, the fact that the man had a two-shot lead over Bryson DeChambeau and entering the final round after DeChambeau rolls in one from long distance on 18 to finish up his Saturday.
Unreal putt.
And fires up the crowd as he heads off to the cabin to sign his scorecard. And he wraps up that Saturday to go within two shots and within one hole of golf. The two-shot lead is erased because McIlroy doubles one and DeChambeau birdies two. And now, not only is the lead gone, but you're wondering if his day is just going to go right in the toilet. And DeChambeau starts struggling. And McIlroy is struggling. And you're watching Justin Rose start to climb the board. Other players climbing the board. The iceberg looms. And you're wondering if Rory's the Titanic. As a third player joins the fray. And McIlroy, I mean, hits the back nine, teetering, but also stealing himself the entirety of his career while you root for the man with his flaws. Yep. All on display in one long, what we thought would either be celebration of him or one long, as only the Masters back nine can provide this sort of drama, one large shipwreck. The guy birdies 10 and then nearly puts it in the water on 11 after he hits out of the pine straw from under the tree. So and it's dumb. Like, Rory, what the hell are you doing?
Anywhere but left, bro.
He like, nearly puts it in the drink, which DeChambeau does.
Well, then Bryson does.
And then we go to 12 where we know Jordan Spieth has had a Masters wrecked, and Masters get wrecked.
Everybody in 2019 except Tiger.
On this beautiful jewel of a par 3 hole that looks so damn easy from your couch.
So easy.
But when it's Masters Sunday, even the greats buckle the knees, which is what makes this golf course so remarkable. Because we know the holes and we know the opportunities that can be had with par threes on the back and par fives on the back that can also blow your world up. We're familiar with these holes as we are some of the greats of the sport because of the sport. Everybody wants to wear the jacket. Every great does. And the Masters Golf Tournament and the way it is run and the way the course lays out is a great in and of itself, which just raises the tension in the drama because we know what's coming. And sure enough, on 13, Rory decides to lay up. And he's got an 86-yarder. Just flip it up. He could do this in his sleep. And what he does is what no professional player who wants to wear the green jacket wants to hear. Rory McIlroy does
What'd I do? I decel. He deceled. And he puts it in the drink.
Oh, God.
At this point in time, I yelled at the television set.
I think my heart stopped.
I know of friends who cursed at the television set. I can only imagine what's going through this guy's brain.
Oh, my God.
I mean, par fives, you got to eat the par fives. You got to eat them for lunch. You got to eat them for breakfast, lunch, and dinner to win a jacket. That's what Tiger does. Tiger, you just look at his career in the par fives and the Masters. You just eat it. Instead, this man doubles it.
But he does the smart
What's
thing.
What's he doing?
He has a three-shot lead. He's playing it smart. Doesn't hit driver, hits three wood.
I don't have a problem with him laying
doesn't
up.
Doesn't go for it. Lays up. And then hits maybe the worst shot
of his life
I've ever seen.
I couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Now, DeChambeau had these opportunities as well, and he played worse.
Worse.
And so it was Rose and Oberg that was becoming the object closer and closer in the rearview mirror of Rory McIlroy.
Rose was making everything. He was spectacular.
And now we're tied. He's lost the lead. Rory McIlroy has now lost the lead. And sure enough, what does he do? He shows up on 15, another par five, and says, you know, this laying up thing, it's for the birds that you're hearing chirping every single time that there's a silent moment on CBS.
The birds.
And he uncorks a remarkable shot on 15 to set himself up for an eagle putt that he misses.
Of course.
Because if he jars that with three holes to go.
He'd be up two.
He'd be up two, and Justin Rose is running out of holes, and Oberg's running out of holes, and he doesn't take advantage of it. So he birdies it, steps up to 16, which for some reason the Masters changed the traditional pin.
They did. That's because it's the 50th anniversary of when Jack won in 75, and the pin was in the back that year, and they changed it.
Good enough.
Yeah.
And Rory uncorks a gorgeous T-ball there. And I turn to my son. I turn to Coop. And I'm like, Coop, he's got to make this. Because I don't think he's going to have a better birdie opportunity the rest of the way than this one. Doesn't do it. Steps up to 17. Now that Justin Rose on 18 jars his birdie putt. So now Justin Rose makes Rory... You got to force him to actually score. Because Rose shoots a 66. And just as I was saying to Coop, hey, you know, he's not going to have a better birdie opportunity the rest of the way. He does on 17 because he makes the shot of his life there. He jars that putt. And all he needs to do is par 18. And he strokes it right down the middle of the fairway. And this is Rory's moment. He's a buck 25 away on his approach shot. And he whiffs on that. He puts it in the sand. And it winds up bogeying 18 to give Justin Rose an opportunity to go ahead and win this thing in extra holes. And I'm like, I cannot believe this is happening. I think I'm describing the way everyone was watching the Masters, right? I mean,
I can't watch. My heart rate was at 140 for the last like hour.
I am applauding the screen 1 minute. I am cursing the screen the next. And McIlroy now is in a cart to go back to 18T, and he's got this whole setup potentially to disintegrate. And all he does is put together two remarkable shots off the tee, and then he's got another buck 25, just like the 18th in regulation, just like 15 minutes before. Rose is already now on the green with an absolute makeable birdie putt, but it's far away, and he makes the shot of his life again to the point where it's so damn close.
It's so good. It's like 2 feet.
He could kick it in. He could kick it in.
After Rose hit a beautiful shot as well, Rory puts it underneath him. Ugh,
Rose misses, Rory makes, and it's finally over. Ugh. It's finally over, and McIlroy has the weight of the world come off him. And I am not going to lie. I have never met this man in my life. I only know him through golf. I only know him through watching. I only know him through reading. I only know him through his sound bites and his press conferences and everything else you hear about the guy. But I cried. Yeah. I teared up.
Me too.
It got dusty in my house. Because you watch a guy torture himself on display. And then he finally gets it done in Augusta, on this golf course, on this day, in this manner. I totally loved everything about it. CBS's coverage, from Nance setting the stage to the pictures of what, just watching him process the moment and stroll off 18 to Butler Cabin and just greet everybody who was just ebullient. It was why we watch sports and why the Masters is truly a tradition unlike any other. And McIlroy had this to say afterwards, summing it all up.
I've carried that burden since August 2014. It's been 11 years, it's nearly 11 years. I'm not just about winning my next major, but the career Grand Slam, you know, trying to join a group of five players to do it. You know, watching a lot of my peers get green jackets in the process. Yeah, it's been difficult, and I've tried to approach this tournament with the most positive attitude each and every time that I've shown up. And I think just the sort of cumulative experience that I've gained coming back here each and every year, I feel like I get a little more comfortable with the shots needed. You know, I talked about it at the start of the week. But, you know, there's talking about it and actually doing it. And yeah, today was difficult. I was unbelievably nervous this morning, really nervous on the first hole, as you witnessed with the double. But as I said, that sort of calmed me down, and you know, I was able to bounce back and show, you know, that resilience that I've talked about a lot. And it was a heavy weight to carry, and you know, thankfully now I don't have to carry it, and it frees me up. And you know, I know I'm coming back here every year, which is lovely.
It is. Every emotion.
Oh, I'm going to cry right now. I'm just so happy for him.
Every emotion. There is nothing like the Masters. An American stage unlike any other. It truly is. And the way that they do it, too. They take people's phones away.
Oh, he mentioned that, too.
Do we have that soundbite? I think that was soundbite two, was it? Mike, I don't know what it was.
And the way they have the analog the scoreboards.
Right.
Like, you don't know what's happening.
The
guys were talking about, it's like Paul Revere. People whisper and news travels like telephone.
Right.
And when they showed Rory after the double on 30, like the sad cobras and the gasping that went on around 18, it's just.
Right. People are not watching the event through their screens that they're recording because they take their phones away from them.
Love that.
Honestly, it's a throwback. It is also a comeback. By that, I mean, I can't wait to go back to next year's Masters now.
Ugh.
Because it's something I grew up with. The holes are like old friends. Yeah. I know 11, I know 12, I know 13, I know 15, I know 16, 17, 18. I know the pin placements. I know where I remember where I watched that moment. I remember this. I remember that. I can't get enough of it. And for it just, and listen, I know he's from Northern Ireland, and I know there are probably for him geographically potentially more important tournaments for him, maybe growing up. I don't know. For the Masters to be the final piece, there can't be any better. And I think he said something like that when he was talking about having to go back to 18 to win it again.
after scoring, Harry and I were walking to the golf cart to bring us back to the 18th tee. And he said to me, "Well, pal, we would have taken this on Monday morning." I'm like, "Yep, absolutely, we would have." So, you know, that was an easy reset. He basically said to me, "Look, you would have given your right arm to be in a playoff at the start of the week." So that sort of reframed it a little bit for me. And I just kept telling myself, just make the same swing you made in regulation. And I had a great drive up there. And and the rest is history.
Got that third soundbite. Pop that one up there, Hoskins. We might as well just unload everything, because he said that the emotions of finally sinking that putt, you know, he did once upon a time have a 4-shot lead in the Masters.
Yeah, in 2011.
And his playing partner was Angel Cabrera.
On that day,
who's gotten through, what, he just got out of jail after 2.5 years, right? And he was at the Masters, and he left a note for McIlroy, because Cabrera was his playing partner the day that he melted down, and here was another moment. We were wondering if the same thing was going to happen.
Just a complete roller coaster of emotions today, and honestly, you know, what came out of me on the last green there in the playoff was, at least 11 years, if not 14 years, of pent up emotion. Since 2011, I think it's so ironic as well. I got to my locker this morning and I opened it up and there was a note in there from Angel Cabrera, and just wishing me luck. And Angel Cabrera was the player I played with in the final day in 2011. It was a nice touch and a little bit ironic at the same time. And it's been 14 long years, but thankfully I got the job done.
There's six of them now. Sarah's in Hogan, player Nicklaus, Tiger, Rory. And as you know, many of them can be just mentioned by one name. Yep. And Rory's one of them. Yep. Career Grand Slam. What a day. I there's nothing like it, man.
No.
I just need 3-4 hours, you know, and a remote and a television. That's what I need. You know? And again, it was great. Soup to nuts, the whole thing. We'll talk about it more with you at 844-204-RICH, the number to dial. But our friend Alan Shipnuck is just zoomed in, and we will get to him on his thoughts on all of this and Bryson DeChambeau and so much more when we come back. Don't let the urge to sing along to that catchy tune distract you from that truck drifting towards your lane or that lane-splitting biker creeping up beside you. Fortunately, every Hyundai offers advanced safety features that can alert you to potential dangers around you. And Hyundai has over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards since 2006, because Hyundai is always working to ensure the road doesn't get you. Hyundai vehicles have won over 120 IIHS Top Safety Awards from 2006 to 2024.
Hey, Rich Eisen here. I hear from a lot of business owners like you about the work it takes to pursue your passions. So I know how important it is to have the tools that can help keep you moving forward. And with access to world-class business and travel benefits, the American Express Business Platinum Card helps you take your business to the next level. It offers a flexible spending limit that adapts with your business. Plus, you'll have complimentary access to more than 1,400 airport lounges worldwide, including the Centurion Lounge, so you can keep running your business while you're on the go. See how the Amex Business Platinum Card gives business owners like you the tools and rewards to do more of what you love. Not all purchases will be approved. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/AmexBusiness.
Let's talk TurboTax, people. You might be sitting there going, "Wait a minute, Rich. I don't get it. It's not April. Why am I thinking about my taxes now? Why should I?" Because with TurboTax, you can have an expert file for you as soon as today. You get a TurboTax expert's undivided attention when you use TurboTax. And they work on your return in real time. Once upon a time, taxes is all about waiting and wondering and worrying. That's three things any fellow football fan can relate to, right? But nowadays, it's all about a TurboTax expert giving your taxes
their undivided attention, just like your fantasy league waiver wire. Experts file with 100% accuracy so you can get your best return guaranteed. Know how it's all working for you right now rather than finding out at the last second and wondering if the person who's doing it for you knows what they're doing. With TurboTax, they've got an expert who knows what they're doing all the time. Now this is taxes. Intuit TurboTax. Get an expert now on TurboTax.com. Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Our radio audience will return shortly. That's when we're bringing the longtime writer from the golf world, Alan Shipnuck. There was the Live Tour scenario that we hardly touched because we just went for the heartstrings with Rory. But, you know, Rory, very, as we know, anti-Live, and mm-hmm. Bryson DeChambeau the exact opposite, the two of them being paired on the same day with DeChambeau wearing his Crusher's golf club
yep
stuff.
The Liv logo's all over his shirt, Crusher's hat. You know,
exactly, and so there was that on top of it as well.
Yeah, that was the showdown, you know, everyone was kind of rooting for. If it couldn't have been,
well, listen,
if it could have been Rory and Scotty in the final group, I think Rory and Bryson was the one that everyone would have liked to have seen.
I there's no doubt in my mind.
You know, round two, Ali Frazier two.
I'm trying
so
to because it's so much happened yesterday. Who would have been there if it wasn't for DeChambeau rolling one in, right?
Corey Connors.
Corey Connors, right? I mean, let's be straight up, man.
Yeah, no, it was a two horse race.
Him and DeChambeau is exactly the pairing you'd want to see in the final round. Mm-hmm. And end of story. And I know CBS probably was happy about that as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Because DeChambeau is very popular, you know. Mm-hmm. Not many players have almost 2 million subscribers on a YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And those metrics matter, man.
Oh, absolutely.
For a rating.
Oh, I mean, I take in Bryson's YouTube content. It's very fun and entertaining. His break 50, you know, the stuff with trying to make a hole-in-one over his house. You know,
that's right.
Super fun and engaging and... You know, he is polarizing, but he's really done a 180. Yeah, you saw it last year at the Open. He was kind of the people's champ. And, you know, at Augusta, it was a lot more for Rory. So it was fun to see.
We'll talk about that a little bit more later on. We got a news update still to come right here on the Rich Eisen Show. By the way, 10 days before the draft. Good times, everybody. Back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We spent the first 20 minutes of the show just unpacking the way we watched the final round of the Masters. And joining us now is a longtime writer from the golf world. He's got a couple of books out there, obviously, one on Phil, one on the Live Tour. We'll talk about it with Alan Shipnuck back here on the Rich Eisen Show. Good to see you, Alan. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
Good to have you. I'll just give you the floor on watching that final round. Where does that rank for you, that final round of the Masters, Alan?
I mean, it's definitely one of the most entertaining Sundays ever at Augusta. It wasn't artful, I would say. You know, Rory played three of the worst shots in Masters history, and a couple of the best too. Like the pursuers never quite rose to the moment. As soon as Justin Rose had a chance to win, you know, he promptly bogeyed the 17th hole. Ludwig, you know, Aubert had a putt take the lead on 16. He missed that, and he blew up coming home. It just felt like the golf gods were doing everything they could to get Rory across the line. You know, when he hit into the trees, he always had a shot. He got a little Freddie Couples, you know, Velcro job on the bank at number 11 when he played a very risky recovery shot. It was just there for the taking, and Rory did everything he could to win it and to not win it simultaneously. So it was riveting theater. In the end, the mistakes, the missed putts, none of it really matters. He got it done. He joined the Pantheon, and that catharsis on the 18th green is going to live forever. I mean, that was just the pure emotion of sport, and it was an insight into, you know, this burden that Rory has carried for so long. And he always downplayed, as he had to, in his public comments, but that's where we could really see the weight of it when it was finally released. And so, it was an all-time a memorable Masters Sunday, and a great champion, and really an unforgettable piece of theater.
So I guess a very simple question,
because we just saw how a sport that guys and women can make look so easy be so difficult. So what is it about Rory McIlroy, I guess is the question, where we just watched his entire career's arc in 19 holes of golf on Sunday, Alan?
Well, he's such an appealing champion because he's so open and he lets you in, you know, like Tiger Woods's, you know, inner self is a well-guarded fortress. We'll never really know who Tiger is or what makes him tick. You could say the same about Ben Hogan, you know, Nick Faldo, a lot of great champions through the years in golf. Angel Cabrera, who, you know, Rory mentioned, even Tom Watson. You know, these guys are a certain personality type. They don't let you in. They have that 1,000-yard stare. And so you appreciate their mastery of the game, but you don't feel a tremendous emotional connection to them. I mean, Rory's the opposite. He always tells you what he's thinking, for better and for worse. He has no filter. He's said a million things he regrets in his life, but all we want from our athletes is for them to be open and honest, and he's the quintessence of that. And so, and you know, he wears his heart on his sleeve. We've seen the tears many times, you know, at Whistling Straits and other times. We know how much he cares. You know, this journey he's been on forever to, you know, he was this prodigy. He won so much so early. It looked like he might, you know, summit Mount Nicholas and make a run in 18 majors. You know, he was on that trajectory for a while, and then this decade-long drought where he won everything that mattered in golf except for what really mattered. He won the Race to Dubai and the FedEx Cup and the Players Championship, and he was a prolific winner around the world except where it really mattered and the tournaments he wanted the most. And so it became this incredible, you know, struggle and almost this Greek tragedy of this guy who has so much talent but couldn't get across the line. And it's just golf fans have been so invested in his story for so long. And that's why, you know, if you're monitoring golf Twitter yesterday, it was one of the all-time great days in the history of the medium because people were just losing their minds and it was this sort of collective freak out. And then, you know, Rory would do something amazing and the internet would melt and then he would do something terrible and woe is me. And it was just, it was great fun. It was communal, you know, it was a collective experience. And because, you know, Rory's become a little more polarizing the last couple of years because of his advocacy in this battle for the soul of golf with the PGA Tour and Live. But I don't think anyone really doesn't like Rory out there. Even the Live bots probably have a grudging admiration and even some affection for him. And so the whole golf world was tuned into this. And as the day wore on, it transcended golf. It became a sports story. It became a human story. Just the struggle, the challenge, the pressure. It was really incredible stuff.
Yeah, I mean, his shot on 15 in a three-way tie, the shot through probably what looked like a 5-foot square foot window on 7 between these trees to flip it over the hole, for him to that shot on 17, the shot on 8, you know, 18 for a second time. Unbelievable compared to, as you said, the Velcro moment on 11 where the ball could have gone in the water, the 13 meltdown where it did go in the water. I mean, it really was epic. Now, for you saying that, you know, Rory's open and lets everybody in, one person who might push back on that, Alan, is Bryson DeChambeau, who we're talking about today, not as much about him having an opportunity to win the green jacket and then shooting a 75, which I'm sure he's pulling his hair out about right now. But him basically saying, Rory didn't talk to me. I think we might have that soundbite teed up. This is the soundbite everybody is talking about on this Monday.
Did you speak to him in there? How's he doing? Do you know?
No idea. No, didn't talk to me once all day.
What was the atmosphere like in there?
Electric. I loved it. But he was just like, just being focused, I guess. So it's not me, though.
Did you try and initiate conversation with Rory at all?
He wouldn't talk to me.
What do you make of this, Alan?
I'm playing the world's tiniest violin for Bryson's tender feelings. I mean, this was cutthroat competition. What does he want? Small talk? I mean, talk about his next YouTube video. I mean, come on. I thought that was so lame for Bryson to cry about that. Like, Rory's out there in the most important moment of his life. He doesn't care about Bryson. He doesn't care about Bryson's feelings. He's trying to win the golf tournament. I mean, that was a weird little revealing moment. I just don't know what Bryson was expecting. I mean, I remember walking with Norman and Faldo in 96. They didn't even look at each other until the very final green. And, you know, these moments, and Rory had said, he said it on Saturday night in his press conference. He wanted to be in his own little world. He wanted to be in his cocoon. I mean, he already laid out his game plan on how he was going to approach the day. So I don't know what Bryson was complaining about. I mean, this is the highest level of competition. It's not about niceties, and it's about trying to win. And that was Rory's game phase.
Well, I mean, listen, I've done a little bit of a turnaround on DeChambeau, where I you want to talk about, you know, begrudging fandom. I mean, that's what I used to have. And I did enjoy him slapping five and everybody once he made that big putt on Saturday. And, you know, I saw what happened at the U.S. Open last year. And he did have some humility with Amanda Baliones after his round. And when we're, you know, talking about this day and age about not players don't want to talk after they lose. But that's my one long-winded way of just not to get too deep in the mental woods here. But him saying it wasn't me when he said that it wasn't me, meaning it wasn't his fault that Rory wasn't talking to him. I got the sense of there was a live undercurrent here that maybe was in Bryson's mind for this round. I don't know if I'm getting too deep here, but that was the most revealing comment he had, Alan.
Yeah, I mean, I like Bryson. I've always liked Bryson. I did a huge story on him in 2015 for Sports Illustrated. He's still an amateur. I've sort of had access to his people this whole way. And I think he's great for golf. But Bryson wants so badly to be loved the way Rory is loved. And he just can't quite get there. He's just not. And he tries hard. He almost tries too hard. And with Rory, it's just more effortless. There's just a warmth that's exuded and a genuineness that Bryson is still, that still eludes Bryson. And I think that moment was part of it. You know, he's made himself part of the story by being churlish about Rory not talking to him. Like, instead of just saying like, hey, it was a pleasure to be out there. The guy played great. You know, it's just, this is Bryson does this to himself often, but just these little things that are kind of these own goals. But I agree with your thesis that he has turned the public perception around. But this was just a little moment where he lost the plot. And you know, if we're honest, Bryson played horrible golf on Sunday. He never had it. He didn't do anything well. And I think that frustration, you know, kind of came out in those little digs at Rory, which just didn't really make any sense in the moment. This is the most feel good win in a long time. And he's trying to make it about him and his little feelings. Like, he just missed the mark.
Well, I mean, and if there was some sort of live PGA Tour battle going on that maybe Bryson was reading into Rory's demeanor, he's the one that showed up in his live gear, man. You know what I mean? Like, do you think that might have been some sort of mental psych out from Bryson to just say, hey, I'm going to show up full on live, you know, like the only thing missing was, you know, I love Saudi Arabia sign, you know, on his bag. You know what I mean? Like that, or Greg Norman being his caddy. You know what I mean? Like that, that's the way I kind of read that part of it, Alan.
Well, I mean, that's how Bryson dresses for every round of golf. So right. That was.
But I mean, the Masters was on a Sunday, right? I mean,
that's just his usual kit. I mean, no doubt that was on Bryson's mind because Liv has lost a certain amount of momentum. They didn't sign any players of note for this season. They've, even though they got on Fox Sports, the ratings have been as bad as always. It just feels like the Liv Tour is kind of listless and rudderless. And so if Bryson could have won the Masters, that would have been a big deal for Liv Golf. And they would have trumpeted it, and it would have perpetuated this cycle about these guys remaining relevant on the world stage. So there was there was no question that that was something that Bryson was thinking about. I don't think Rory cared at all. He was on such a personal journey, and he knows that if he wins and he, then everything takes care of itself. He doesn't even have to give it 1% of his brain matter to this overarching storyline that the rest of us think about. So, I think this one hurt Bryson in a lot of ways. You know, this was a chance for him to go to a different level. I mean, there's a lot of his contemporaries have two major championship victories, whether you talk about Justin Thomas or Scottie Scheffler or Colin Morikawa. You can go on down the list. There's a bunch of really good players with two majors. If he could have gotten to three, that completely separates him. If he'd won majors in back-to-back years, if he'd conquered Augusta National, a course that has kind of bedeviled him, this was a monumental moment for him. And so I think you could feel that frustration, that sense of he just kind of fell flat on the biggest stage of his career. And so, you know, the overarching LIV Tour storyline is always going to be there. It means a lot more to the LIV guys because they know they're playing for their credibility. I don't think Rory cared one bit.
So my last one for you is, what's your expectation level of Rory McIlroy without this now hanging over his head? What do you expect from him, Alan?
Well, we could be looking at something epic here, because when you look at the three best courses that the tour has visited so far this year, it's Pebble Beach, Sawgrass, Augusta National. Rory's conquered all of them, and they're very different kinds of challenges. He is playing by far the best golf of his career. Next month, the PGA Championship goes to Quail Hollow, where he's won four times and had some career performances there. Then you go to Oakmont for the U.S. Open, which is really the ultimate national championship venue. It's just so macho. It's so hard. If he's halfway to the Grand Slam when he rolls up to Oakmont, I mean, who knows? And then, of course, the Open Championship is at Royal Portrush in Northern Ireland, where Rory hails from. The crowd will be on his side. It's as always, but it's a special place. You know, he shot 61 there when he was 16, set the course record that still stands. That was really the performance that made Rory McIlroy Rory McIlroy. It put his name on the lips of everyone in the world of golf. It propelled him into his career. He has a special affection for that golf course, even though he famously didn't play well in 2019 because he got in his own way. You know, you got to take it one step at a time. But if Rory can take care of business at Quail Hollow, this summer is really turbocharged, and it could be a great ride for all of us.
So, me asking you what the possible expectations for Rory McIlroy now that he has completed the career Grand Slam, and your answer is he can actually have a Grand Slam in one single calendar year. So, no expectations at all, Alan. Did I read that correctly? You don't have any expectations? You laid it out like it's possible here, point by point.
He's
right.
And you also look at the other top players in the world have not really been performing this year. You know, Scotty hasn't won. Morikawa has been there and lost a few leads. Justin Thomas is in the abyss. Jordan Spieth is playing a little better, but you know, he's won twice in 7 years. You know, you go on down the list, there's not a lot of top players who are really playing their best. It's just, that was the storyline coming to this Masters, was it? This is the moment for Rory. He delivered. So now, can he carry that forward? I mean, clearly his game travels. You know, he won at Pebble Beach this year. I was there and I asked him about it. And he said, I'm finally a complete player. You know, I can play in any conditions. I can play in the wind. I can hit it high. I can hit it low. He said, and I said, finally, you know, you're finally, he said, yeah, it's been a process, but he's worked diligently on a lot of aspects of his game. And you saw, you know, things obviously on the 13th hole, it didn't happen, but Rory's wedge play and his short iron play for basically 3.5 rounds at Augusta was the best it's ever been. And he was a guy who only had a fastball, right? Now he has a curveball, a slider, a changeup, a split finger. Like, he has added so much to his repertoire. And he's, of course, he still has the firepower. So he is a threat. He's always been a threat anytime he teed it up. But now with this huge burden lifted, with this confidence, with this, you know, he died a few deaths out there on Sunday, and he still prevailed. Like, nothing will ever shake Rory McIlroy on a golf course again. There is no situation that's too big for him. He will never feel the kind of pressure he felt yesterday. And so, yeah, it's tantalizing to think what he can do from here.
Alan, really appreciate the 2 cents. Thank you, sir. We'll chat again real soon. Certainly, if you've just crystal balled it. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks for having me.
You got it. Everybody check out Alan Shipnuck, Instagram, Twitter, and so much more right here on The Rich Eisen Show. No expectations at all.
Yeah. It's wild to go 11 years without winning a major and then be like, no, he's going to win multiple this year.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he just laid out where it's going to be and how he is.
It's all set up.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen.
This episode is brought to you by Navy Federal Credit Union. We know just how fast your life moves. You have bills to pay, mouths to feed, and not a lot of free time. That's why we created an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on. It can save you time and money with new lightning-fast direct deposit setup, and it offers checking accounts with ATM refunds and no service fees. Plus, whether you have credit or not, you can build your credit score with the new ability to report on-time bill payments. And with personalized financial insights on My Making Sense, the ability to view all your accounts in one place, custom notifications, and 24/7 fraud protection, you can get a full picture of your finances. So if you want an all-in-one banking experience that lets you keep on banking on, sign up today. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. Navy Federal Credit Union. Our members are the mission. Insured by NCUA.
When we had our first segment, you were talking about all the movies that you get maybe thrown at you. One film you did not mention, The Untouchables, which is another film. For me, that is a remote drop. Where I see it on TV, I just have to drop the remote, no matter where I am in the film. Do you have a Sean Connery story you can share?
I remember one time, I was with Sean. I was in Chicago. And as I was kind of talking to him, this girl was really trying to get my attention. She was cute, and I didn't want to rush over there because Sean told me a story one time of a girl sitting next to him that kept tapping him, and he knew she was there. He knew he was going to get to her, but he kept up his conversation, kept it up, finally tapping. Finally, when this dumb conversation was over and he really wanted to see what the bird was all about, he looked over at her, and her cigarette was just now hanging out of her mouth. She was trying to give him what he thought was a note, and it was a lighter, and so she looked pretty pathetic. So I had that story on my mind when I was with him, and some girl was trying to get my attention, like looking over, and finally I'm kind of done with him, and I think, well, I'll stroll over and see what she really wants. So I did. I walked, and she was behind the ribbon, and I got really close to her, and I said, yeah, and she goes, could you get me Sean's autograph? And I went like, I felt like I had a cigarette hanging out of my mouth like this. I said, yeah, of course I could do that.
The biggest star.
Yeah, and the real deal, and really honest. I mean, he was upset on Untouchables. He was upset because he thought somebody had treated him wrong in production. It was going to cost him money, and money was important to him, how it worked and that kind of thing. And he was really angry. He was in a bar, and he called me over, and he goes, Mr. Nash. He called me Ness. He
goes,
Mr. Nash. Yeah, and I go, yeah. And I go, what? He goes, can you sit down here with me? And I sat down, and he had this piece of paper, like a yellow pad, mm-hmm. just like what you have.
Yeah.
And he said, do you remember this? Do you remember that? And it was like stuff that was right and stuff that was wrong. And I said, I remember that. And yeah, I remember that. And he goes, God, thank you. And he went and tore this guy's head off. He just needed to be sure. that he wasn't going to be wrong.
All facts confirmed by
Kevin
Costner.
Yeah, he didn't want to kind of, but boy, then it was lit. Then it was on.
Look out.
All of Kevin Costner's awesome appearances are sitting on our YouTube channel. If you just want to go down a wormhole, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. Also, you'll see some of the greatest hits from our YouTube channel sliced up on our Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube feeds as well.
Everywhere.
And that also includes, we're fortunate to be doing this for a while. Don Mischer passed away this weekend, the great producer of Super Bowls and Oscars and other great, massive television moments. He was here two summers ago. I think he had a book that he was promoting about his career. He passed away, so we sliced up a tribute for him.
I was watching that video.
About the Prince halftime show.
Yeah, didn't even realize he passed. I just thought we posted. I was like, this is a great video.
I appreciate you saying that because we did it with love and affection for his work. And I got a chance to meet him many times through the NFL Network. And we say to him and his family, condolences and may he rest in peace.
Yeah.
Back on the Rich Eisen Show, recent news and uncertainties around the economy really hits home for a lot of us. One thing that stands out is Hyundai's commitment to supporting American consumers and making investments in this country. And no surprise, Hyundai announced they're not going to be raising the MSRP to their vehicles through June 2nd, 2025. They believe in investing right here in America, $21 billion to be exact, in the next 3 years. That's meant to expand manufacturing and help create more jobs for Americans, not just talk. Hyundai is about action. Call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hey, man, I don't know what's going on in the NBA. The number of coaches getting bounced is really becoming shocking to me, certainly when you got Taylor Jenkins with 9 games to go, and then with fewer games to go, Michael Malone for Denver. Those teams are going into the playoffs with interim head coaches, and a couple of years after hiring the championship head coach from the Milwaukee Bucks years, the Suns have told Mike Budenholzer, we're done. That's it. One season, one and done, 36-46, highly disappointing. I mean, just there's no other way to put it. So Matt Ishbia surprised a lot of people by bouncing his coach of the year a couple of years ago for Frank Vogel, and then that's bounced Frank Vogel for Mike Budenholzer. And I guess it's now completely vogue to fire a head coach who's won a championship these days, because Michael Malone was one, and Nick Nurse was fired by Toronto. He's in Philadelphia, where he's going to stay. Now,
allegedly,
and then the Suns. Congratulations to them. They fired two of them, Frank Vogel and Mike Budenholzer. So Matt Ishbia, great job, Matt.
My goodness, what did you say, TJ? In the last 10 years,
it's
just Mazzulla and Steve Kerr.
That's it. Right? Every other coach who's won a championship has been let go. It's insane.
They've gone full hockey.
Churning it is just not going to, it's not going to be helpful. The Bradley Beal acquisition, absolute disaster.
What a disaster. Even Kevin Durant kind of too.
So Monty Williams out, Frank Vogel, you're out, and Mike Budenholzer, you're out. Who the hell would want to take that job, quite frankly?
You're going to hear Danny Hurley's name.
Why would he do that? Why in the world would he
do
that?
I'm not sure, but you're going to start hearing it. There was, an unfounded rumor that he was...
You see his wife push back on some Instagram post?
Yeah.
Listen, the guy turned down the Lakers and LeBron.
Yeah, he ain't going to Phoenix. Okay. Come on,
he's
going
to go to Phoenix now? Certainly, since everybody thinks Durant is going to have to be traded in order for them to get out of whatever, apron cap hell that they're sitting in.
And it's long been thought that Devin Booker would rather be a Laker than anything else.
Yeah, of course.
You know how they're like the Yankees. They somehow make it happen.
Okay, so you got a coach of the year in Monty Williams. Let's fire him. Let's bring in Frank Vogel. Then let's fire him. Oh, here's Budenholzer. Let's fire him. Why would Danny Hurley leave UConn, where apparently, again, the story was, the reason why he turned down the Lakers is he and his wife like the East Coast. Yeah, they don't want to move from there. They already consider, I guess, what UConn's far enough from home. The Boston job that people were saying, he's kind of into that idea.
Right.
That's not going to happen.
Yeah. Nope.
That's out.
You know, Joe Mazzulla might be 2 months away from being back to back.
Ugh.
Right? And then, God. You know, I don't think the Knicks are going to fire their guy, no matter what happens in these playoffs.
Right.
Hey, you can't say never now at this point.
I don't know. I can't say never in this regard because he doesn't win a championship.
Oh, okay.
That's what puts you on thin ice these days, man.
That's why you got to win.
Touche.
Touche.
I can't believe Malone got fired. That was crazy.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know what to make of the Nuggets, man. You're gonna have to figure that one out yourself.
Well, look
with the Clippers, but we'll talk about these matchups later on.
It worked out well for us.
Yeah. But my word, the NBA.
It's fantastic. Playoffs.
Well, unless you've won a championship before, then you're fired.
So who should be worried? There's nobody left, I guess, right?
It's just us.
I guess. Well,
Mazzulla and Kerr.
There's Doc.
Doc. Oh,
Doc. Yeah. So he's next. He's going next.
That's a fun opening series, too. Bucks, Pacers.
Well, just don't take Giannis's basketball. Or please do, because then it's on and cracking.
Yeah, right.
Right. Start some.
But, man, the Suns, who wants that job?
I don't know.
Somebody will.
You know,
they'll figure they got the right formula.
No, I mean, of course someone's going to take the job.
I know, I'm saying, like, someone would be like, no,
why would Danny Hurley leave UConn to go all the way to Phoenix after he said, I'm not even going to go all the way to the Lakers to coach LeBron? Get out of here, man.
Money does talk, though.
Well, and I'm sure UConn could put some on the table if it's necessary, because they've already done it. Delroy Lindo, the legend in studio, coming up.
If your job at a healthcare facility includes disinfecting against viruses, you know prevention is the best medicine. And maintaining healthy spaces starts with a healthy cleaning routine. Grainger's world-class supply chain helps ensure you have the quality products you need when you need them. From disinfectants and cleaning supplies to personal protective equipment, so you can help deliver a clean bill of health. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.